Today, yet more evidence of the property slowdown. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The Australian Bureau of Statistics released the latest housing finance statistics to April 2018. They confirm the macro trends that we have already reported. Lending volume flows are solidly down, and the trends suggest more in the months ahead. We are entering a new phase in the credit cycle, and this will put further downward pressure on home prices. The total number of first-time buyer loans in the month fell by 8% from the previous month, down 740. These are original numbers, so they move around from month to month, but this is the lowest volume since January. And the volume was equivalent to 17.6% of all buyers, a fall in numbers of first-time buyers registered across all states, with the largest number in Victoria at 2,677, down 6% on the prior month. New South Wales was down 8.6% and Queensland was down 11.3%. So this suggests that the first-time buyer incentives are running out of puff. The number of investor first-time buyers also fell. And when we overlay this onto the overall first-time buyer trends, we see a significant drop in flows from a couple of months back. So first-time buyers are not going to keep the market up. Turning to the overall lending flows and looking at the trends, we see a fall in pretty much all categories. The proportion of investor loans also fell, down to 42.8% of loans approved, excluding refinancing existing loans, compared with a high of 53% in 2014. Across the individual categories, owner-occupied lending for construction fell 2.2%, or $41 million, and refinancing of existing dwellings was down just $1 million. However, the purchase of new owner-occupied homes rose 0.4%, or $4.7 million, and the purchase of established dwellings was up 0.1%, or $9 million. On the investment side of the house, lending for investment construction fell 3.4%, or down $37 million, while borrowing by individual investors fell 1.4%, or $131 million, and other investors, such as super funds, fell 5.3%, or $55 million. Overall, then, investor flows were down 2%, or $224 million, and owner-occupied lending was down 0.2%, or $27 million. The overall trends are down, as the rolling three-month chart shows, and the trajectory appears lower ahead. The longer-term rolling trend also shows the momentum ebbing, with investor lending flows leading the way down and refinancing also slowing. Note that these are based on the trend data, which irons out the data bumps. Finally, the original stock data rose by $2.8 billion, or 0.17%, to $1.66 trillion. Within that, owner-occupied stock rose by 0.27%, or $2.9 billion, to $1.09 trillion. And investment lending stock fell $123 million to $562 billion. Investment lending, therefore, fell to 33.9% of the stock, the lowest since 2012. The long-term trend tells the story. We are moving into uncharted lending territory as volumes fall. And this suggests that unlike the last mini clampdown on mortgage lending in 2016, which lasted just a few months before recovering firmly, the various conditions in the lending market are going to dampen further this time. What we do not have is a picture of the non-bank sector, which we suspect is picking up some of the slack. Another problem with the MARPIC data the authorities choose to release. But the bottom line is that there will be further contraction in lending in the months ahead as lending standards get ever tighter. And this will translate into lower home prices ahead. The real estate boom is firmly over. And further confirmation today is the AFR reports that Citibank has hit the brakes on residential property lending amid growing fears about a housing slowdown and its impact on the broader economy. Citi is cutting drawdown lines of credit on home equity and increasing interest rates in a tightening that targets both new and existing borrowers. The policy change follows repeated warnings by the bank about looming slowdown in the residential and commercial markets and its reverberations across the economy, particularly retail. And the bank, which relies on mortgage brokers for the bulk of its distribution, has increased interest rates on all variable rate home loan products by 10 basis points for new and existing customers. Citi is also restricting revolving line of credit accounts, which are a popular product that allow an agreed amount of always available credit for an undetermined amount of time. The debt is repaid periodically and can be borrowed again once it's repaid. The bank's mortgage power product allows an account holder to access the equity in their property through the same means as an everyday transaction account, such as ATMs, checks, or BPAY, at an interest rate lower than a credit card. It means borrowers are effectively using their home loan as a line of credit to pay domestic bills or for investment purposes. Under Citi's changes, no new mortgage power credit lines will be offered. There will be no increases in the limits on existing lines of credit accounts and no extension of the term or the interest-only period. Citi has warned the traditional response of investors to ride out a downturn was now less viable because of high debt levels, particularly investors aged in their 50s and 60s. And they say this will have a multiplier effect across the economy, particularly in retailing, which depends on confident consumers. And Citi analysts warn the housing cycle has turned, which is evident from weekend residential mortgage clearance rates, but is yet to be reflected in earnings and multiples. So yet more evidence that the real estate boom is firmly over. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or a question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receives alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.